the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment.
But I am heartily sorry for them,
and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. My soul, O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. For you are the God of my salvation, on you I wait all day. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let no one who on you be ashamed.
Kyrie.
Son to rule over us poor sinners, who for our transgressions didst justly deserve to remain in the bondage of sin and Satan, and didst give us in him a meek and righteous King, who by his death became our Savior from sin and eternal death. We beseech thee so to enlighten, govern, and direct us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may ever remain faithful to this righteous King and Savior, and not after the manner of the world be offended with his humble form and despised word, but firmly believing in him, obtain eternal salvation through the same thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen. The Old Testament lesson is found in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, the 31st through the 34th verse. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. Let no one who waits on you be ashamed, O Lord. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
The epistle lesson for this first Sunday in Advent is found in the 13th chapter of Romans, the 11th through the 14th verse. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, nor in lewdness and lust, not in envy and strife, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia. Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation, alleluia.
The gospel is found in the 21st chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 9th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes that went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 56.
Jesus comes in joy and sorrow.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the 21st chapter of Matthew, the 1st through the 9th verse, our gospel lesson. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" Here ends our lesson. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Beloved in Christ, when a very important guest is coming to your house, it is time to break out the mops and sponges to clean and organize your home. If you would do this, even perhaps for visiting family or friends, how much more preparation would you make when your visitor is someone like a legislator or governor or the head of a large company or a famous person or maybe even the president? How much more would you tidy your home and prepare the best refreshments, drill your children in proper etiquette, and put on your best clothing? In this blessed Adventide, we receive the guest of all guests, the Lord Jesus. What is the right preparation to make when the one who is coming to you is God's own Son and the rightful King of all the world? Would it be enough to clean your house from top to bottom, to sweep out all the nooks and crannies, to buy new suits and dresses for everyone? Certainly the Son of God is worthy of all of these things, but all that preparation will not impress him. What is a clean and shining home to him who created the sea and the land and all the life that is in them and the stars and the hosts of heaven? What is clean and impeccable clothing to him who can see through to the thoughts and desires of your heart? Jesus is not a man such as that you can fool him with a pretty show, because when he looks upon you, he sees right to the core. He sees you for what you are. He sees all of your scars. He sees the stains of sin. He sees every unclean thought. What preparation can you make during the time of Advent, the coming of our Lord Jesus? How shall you prepare to greet him who comes in the name of the Lord? The only preparation cannot be of your home or your hearth, but of your mind and heart. Jesus did not come to put on luxurious king's clothing, nor to be attended by servants and courtesans. He does not come to earth so that you can serve him. He, the Son of David, comes to do what Christ must do, to save you from your sins. He comes to serve you. Perhaps if Jesus came riding into Jerusalem with a glowing countenance and shining armor, on the back of a mighty war stallion, with an army of angels in his wake, then you may have some justification for thinking that the right preparation to make is to look and act your best. But Jesus does not come in glory as he enters the world. He does not come in power. He comes in humility and weakness. As he draws near to fulfill the law and the prophets and to save us from our sins, he chooses the lowliest of beasts, a beast of burden, that which normally carries around only the poor or the baggage of a traveler, but certainly not a noble guest. Certainly not a king, certainly not the Son of God. Yet Jesus finds such an animal fit to carry him as he enters the holy city of Jerusalem, where the throne of his father David was once established. And so it will not do to prepare to receive the Lord with a pretty show when he himself comes in humility and poverty. It will not do to come before him with boasting when he comes before you in meekness. He is not coming into this world or into Jerusalem to impress the earthly authority or to challenge their right of rule. He comes to bear your sins. He comes to lower himself still further until he fulfills the scriptures and becomes the suffering servant upon whom the children of men can hardly stand to look because his countenance is so marred and his body is so abused. Nor would it be fitting and proper to try to impress him with all the things that you intend to do for him when he comes for no other reason than to serve you and bear your burden, to lay down his life at your feet. If you find such an entrance as Jesus makes and such humiliation as he intends to bear offensive, then you're not alone. His own disciples could hardly understand what was going on, and Peter, prior to this, even tried to prevent him from fulfilling his office as Christ, from going up to Jerusalem, only so that he could be arrested and crucified. You would expect that God would glorify his own Son with the mightiest show of power, with the heavens opening up with choirs of angels, because it does not seem fitting that the Lord should glorify his Son through suffering and death. Where is the glory in submitting to your enemies and letting them destroy you? The chief priests and scribes were greatly offended that Jesus would come in such a humble way as this, and yet still be hailed as the one who comes to save his people. The world cannot receive a Savior like this. And so we see that as he enters Jerusalem, it is not the leaders or the priests and Levites or the chief Pharisees or Sadducees that come to greet him. It is the common people, or as Luke tells us, the children who follow Jesus into the city and walk before him and continue the cry of Hosanna into the day. Today, many are offended for the same reason as this, that Jesus would come not to help them in their business or to make them famous or to give them a positive outlook in life or to line their pockets with gold and silver or to give them perfect health or to bring world peace. He still does not come in glory today with visions and special revelations. He directs us back to his coming in humility, and he still wants to be known as the humble suffering servant who redeems his people from their sins. Even in our day, centuries after his resurrection and ascension to the right hand of the Father, when he has indeed taken up his glory again, he still wants you to find his glory in his humility, in his wounds, and in his death. Therefore, Jesus does not come to you in Advent as a mighty judge, but as your humble Savior. He takes all of his divine power and might, all those unimaginable aspects of his person, his eternal existence, his omnipresence, all the knowledge that he knows, and he becomes true man. He's born a human child with all of the limitations of human flesh, and even all the temptations and the other consequences of sin that a normal human child must bear. From his first moments in human flesh to his last, his entire life is one of submission and humility. And it is only in such humility that he reveals himself to you today. And we know for certain that this is how he wants you to come to him today. Consider what he told his disciples a few days later, on the night in which he was betrayed, as he instituted the Lord's Supper. He told them that they are to eat and drink the body and blood that was given and shed for the remission of their sins. They are to do this not just once, but from then on. And therefore, to this day, in every time and place where the church assembles together, it is the humble Jesus which we have before us. It is the innocent Lamb of God whom Jesus bids us to see. We all want the glorious Jesus. We shall have that on the last day, but for today that is not what he gives us. That is not how he wants us to remember him. He wants us to come to him even as he comes to us in humility. And as he came to bear our sins, so he wishes us to come to him still in the same way, to give him our sins so that he can carry them away. And so on that day, as the crowds gathered to receive Jesus, they did not put on their finest cloaks, but rather they took them off and spread their garments in the way. Yes, even as Jesus is riding on the colt of a donkey, the lowliest animal you could ride, the people cast their garments before him, their outer robes. This was a sign of humility, as if to say, "My garment, O Jesus, is worth only that you should trample it underfoot." How true this is, that all that we have to show, all our works before men, are worth nothing more than to be trampled underfoot. And yet the people are glad to do this. They honor Jesus for his humility so that in the end he receives his greatest praise. Not because he is mighty, but because he is lowly. Because he comes to bear the sins of the world. His greatest glory before men is in his humble form and in his innocent suffering and death. And therefore the best and highest praise that we can give to Jesus is to bow down before him in repentance and praise him for his redemption. This is the only right way to receive Jesus. Therefore, if you would receive him, you must receive him as a sinner who can only cry, "Hosanna." What does that word mean? It is two Hebrew words joined together, meaning, "Save us, we beg you." You would say this to an earthly king or hero if you are beseeching them to rescue you from some earthly oppressor. But when you say these words to Jesus, you are not asking that he rescue you from tyranny or famine or flood or debt or depression or any other dreadful bodily condition. When you sing Hosanna to Jesus, you are singing a prayer of repentance. "Save me, O Jesus, from my sins. For you are the Son of David, who comes in the name of the Lord to fulfill the promise made to David and to our father Abraham." And so it is no coincidence that we begin Advent with this cry and we repeat it again on Palm Sunday, right before our Lord is crucified. We will sing it again today as we do on every Sunday, as Jesus comes to us in the bread and wine of his supper. There too he comes in the name of the Lord to take our sins away. "Save us, O Lord, for we are poor and needy, and without your help we must perish." Remember this when you cry, "Hosanna." For when you say these words to Jesus, you are crying out for the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Because this Jesus who comes into Jerusalem on a donkey is the only one who has the power to save you. Let that be your preparation in this penitential season. Find your joy in the humility of the Son of God and your peace in his meek submission to his Father's will. And then let your cry of rejoicing also be your cry of repentance as you sing to the Son of David who comes in the name of the Lord to save you. God be with you in this blessed time and grant you such joy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of all mercies and God of all comfort, who since the world began has given through your holy prophets the promise of mercy and deliverance, we thank and praise you for the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. We beseech you, O God, that as your faithful people in every age have earnestly believed your word, so we may also unwaveringly believe it and be found ready to receive your heavenly promises. And as the faithful remnant in Israel looked with fervent longing for the coming of the Messiah, grant that we also may joyfully receive him, Jesus our Lord, and thus be delivered by his might from the power of sin, death, and the devil. To this end, dear God, lead us by your Spirit to acknowledge our great sinfulness. By his power, bring us to repentance. Help us to hate evil and to love good. Strengthen us against the temptations of Satan. Turn our hearts to seek righteousness and holiness, that thus we may serve and glorify you. Send the light of your word throughout the earth, that all may know you through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. That in every place the cry may continue to go forth, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Grant peace and tranquility to the nations of the earth. We especially ask your favor upon our own land. Guide our authorities to be diligent in their callings, to do your will and acknowledge you as the only true God. Bless all who are gathered here today and sanctify them by your word. To all those who are afflicted, to those who are in sorrow, to those who are enduring trials, to those who have any need of body or spirit, grant such strength, comfort, and understanding that they may be comforted with the knowledge of your enduring help and presence. All this we ask in the name of him who came for our deliverance, died for our salvation, rose again for our justification, and ever lives to intercede for us before the majesty on high, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We sing hymn number 66.
stop your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the Messiah, the very Lamb of God, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory.
This day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Life. Take and eat. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We
We sing hymn number 49. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.